This is John Whiting for the BBC in London. One of the dubious advantages of being an American is that whenever you're not quite certain what to be enthusiastic about, you can find out from a public relations expert. And foremost among the purveyors of fads and fantasies is Time magazine, which has whetted our appetites for everything from existential Catholicism to psychological party games. And now Time has discovered London and proclaimed it the Swinging City, an epithet which hasn't been appropriate since the golden age of Tyburn. Enormous crowds of Americans pass through London every summer, and this year, after a hard sell from Henry Luce, one travel agent estimates that the number may swell by 250,000. Of course, not all Americans come in search of sophistication. Recently, I talked to five more or less typical visitors who have extended their stay between 18 months and 11 years. They include three who earn their living in the arts, a mathematician, and a businessman. None of them consider themselves expatriates. All are still American citizens. The one thing they have in common is that they are here to work. They have come to London for much the same reasons that a Midwesterner goes to New York. Francis Kelly, for instance, is a California artist who came here in 1955 on a Fulbright Fellowship and has remained to paint and to exhibit. During our conversation, I asked him what has kept him here for 11 years.
Well, I have lived abroad in Europe on previous trips, and I have found that London, for the American artist abroad, is probably the best place outside the continental limits of the United States in which to work. That is to work and be finding a market for your work. This seems to be very little known, as very few American artists have in recent years come to England. I think that we have to look back to perhaps Whistler and Sargent to find our predecessors as far as Americans making any impact through working here. Now, this does not refer, of course, to Americans exhibiting their work through galleries represented in the United States. I'm referring to artists who do come and work in this country. Now, they have been very few up till the last few years, and suddenly there seems to be a new feeling about London. I think in a recent publication in America, it's been described as the swinging city and the city of the decade. And I certainly agree with this, and I think that this is getting around to American artists now, and they're coming here. But we don't meet. You see, the very atmosphere of the country is one in which individualism, in the arts particularly, is in the English tradition. And Americans come, there's no language barrier here, as there are in other countries. There's no need for us to band together for this reason. Consequently, we all work quite unaware of each other's existence, other than, of course, when there is an exhibition in a gallery and we see their work.
Mary Williams, after studying at Reed College and the University of Pennsylvania, has come to Imperial College London for a PhD in mathematical biology.
I came to England largely because of the freedom of the doctoral program. In the States, you have to take courses for a doctorate, and in my particular field, mathematical biology, there are no courses. So I'd have to take mathematics courses and biology courses and put them all together myself, which is the real work. So I figured I'd come over here and where I could do all the work on my own anyway.
Having been here for a while, have you formed any impressions about the status of the practical and technological sciences?
Well, yes, because I've been, physically speaking, in the electrical engineering building, I've known a lot of people working in electrical engineering, and it's my impression that the engineer is really a rather low status occupation here, which I think is very bad for England. It's one of the reasons why, say, the computer companies are having trouble. They don't have the technologists to work with. There is here at Imperial College a tremendous university setup built up, which is not fully utilized by the English students because they can't get English students who want to come.
One of the more successful young Americans in England is Stephen Bishop, a pianist who came 7 years ago to study with Dame Myra Hess, and has remained to perform with virtually every major orchestra in London.
I made a London debut at the Wigmore Hall, and this was followed by another concert there a few months later. And I started getting some work in this country, small recitals in the provinces, and the occasional orchestral date. And then as I saw that I could support myself over here, I decided to stay and not go back to play officially, so to speak, that is a New York appearance, until I had achieved some sort of experience here. London was easier to play in because I had studied here for 3 years. And so I thought, well, I'll wait for New York until I feel really ready.
How have you felt about working here in London?
Well, England is quite remarkable in that respect. You see, there are many, first of all, there are many music clubs in quite smallish places that give 4 or 5 concerts here a season, and usually one of them is a piano recital, and there must be 200 of these clubs in dotted about the place. And so I had a good proportion of work from clubs like this, which gave me a great deal of experience, and I could try out repertoire and things. And then there are plenty of opportunities as well for orchestral work. There are at least 4 very good provincial orchestras, not including, of course, the London orchestras. And then there are a lot of smaller chamber groups where I've been able to perform many Mozart concertos and some very small ones and some that aren't known at all. I don't think I'd have the opportunity to do them anyplace else.
Larry Bates is an American businessman who has worked in the City of London for 4 years. He finds the pace of English industry congenial, but sometimes frustrating.
I would say that London is representative of Europe, and that Europeans in general have a somewhat different philosophy of doing business. They don't, first of all, involve themselves in the kind of a rush that the Americans do. They aren't very happy to do these things quickly by telephone. They would rather have you send them a letter, and then they can send you a letter back, and then you send them another letter saying thank you for your letter, and it seems to disrupt things if you want to break the system and call up and just ask a question. Generally, I feel that there isn't sufficient encouragement to make the kind of an effort that the busy American businessman does. There are 2 things about it. First of all, the risks don't seem to result in a sufficient return to make it worthwhile. And also, my various American friends who have come here and who have relations with businessmen in this country tell me that they in America work much harder for a much smaller profit margin than the people here, who just seem to accept what business comes their way at a much higher rate of return for them. And they feel, well, if they haven't satisfied the demand, there isn't enough reward to make it worth the effort to do so.
London, of course, is a mecca for actors. Michael Lerner, a young Californian at the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art, described his confrontation with unfamiliar methods and techniques.
The interesting thing that I've learned at Lambda is that style or technique is intuition with the English. I mean, it's there. And the very difficult thing for an American is to feel it. It's automatically a learning process in drama school, you know. But they're excellently equipped to teach it, because it is so immediate to them. And anything I can pick up in this way, it must be beneficial.
What effect has this had on your own approach to a role?
I think I'm much saner. I don't think I, as an actor, indulge myself any quite as much as I used to. I'm not afraid any longer to use my brain, or to use my mind, because it seems that that's quite a respected thing for actors these days in England. Also this idea of external acting. As you know, the story about Alec Guinness, the way he approaches his roles, he says that he can't get a character unless he walks the character. That is, he visualizes how the character walks. And then once he can get this body, this physical image of the character, then he can enter into it and get the internal afterwards. And this is different in a way, I guess, from the main trend American acting. You know, oh, we gotta feel it and all that. This is, I've tried to use this. We just did a Molière play. And I tried to get the body of the character I was doing. It was a Tartuffe. I was doing Ogon. And it kind of worked, because I found that in getting the physical, the posture of the man and all that, emotional things began happening, you know. It's a quite exciting way of working. And not at all, it doesn't have to be at all technical or too planned out and cold. It doesn't have to.
But London is a place to live as well as to work. None of these people seemed at a loss for entertainment.
I've always said that if you were a collector of shrunken heads, you would find in England a society that met the first Tuesday of every week to discuss their collections.
Oh, it's rather fun. I've taken up brass rubbing. And that's something you can't do in the States. It's great fun.
Well, London is a fascinating city, like New York. There's, if you have any interests, there are so many outlets for them, and every kind of cultural thing, and very cosmopolitan place. Every nationality is here. The place is loaded with students, and it's a very invigorating atmosphere to be here.
And I've been very fortunate here in London in joining a small sailing club, which is on a small lake not too far from where I live and from the city, which makes it possible to sail most weekends.
But living in England, you know, I just walking by this stinking river and the fog and Sherlock Holmes and the Heath and hounds and wearing a 8-pound Harris tweed coats is very nice. I like it.
Almost everyone, in fact, seems to like it. Americans have joined with characteristic enthusiasm in helping to make London exciting, productive, and cosmopolitan. This is John Whiting for the BBC in London.